when your craft is used as a vehicle of expressing love unto God, it's just extremely important that you show up.
The Profile with Premier Christianity Magazine.
Welcome back to another edition of The Profile, where we sit down with a well-known Christian and hear about their life and testimony. I am here with someone who is an absolute powerhouse of a music artist. She's been signed by Roc Nation, and I'm sure she hears these things all the time, but she's worked on some incredible albums, and she has been part of a really amazing group with her siblings. She's honestly one of my favorite music artists of the moment, and probably of the forever. It is, of course, Victory Boyd. Hello.
Hi, Cassandra. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. So I know that you've spoken to Premier Gospel before, so we will be very familiar with who you are. But we're going to try and tap into a little bit more of who you are today, because that's what we like to do on the station. But first, you're in the UK, aren't you?
Yes, but I want to say for the first time, I was here once before, but this feels like my first proper visit to the UK, and it is lovely.
What have you been getting up to?
I have been able to ride a bike around.
Oh, okay.
Just riding. We rode to Big Ben, and we rode to
Nice.
Buckingham Palace, and we just it's just been it's just so amazing to like ride around the city and just like be free. And so I love it.
That sounds very touristy, but I'm very much here for it. Like, very here for
Like, let me
that.
be a tourist. Like,
Be
come
a
on.
tourist. Honestly, live your best tourist life.
Exactly.
Getting into you then, and your story. So for those that don't know, you grew up in Detroit, Michigan, two parents, eight siblings.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Eight. So I have seven siblings, so I know what this is like,
Okay.
having a really big family. But talk to me about how your big family shaped who you are today.
Yeah, well, I'm in the upper half of the children. So I have five younger siblings and three older ones. And so you really grow up, from my perspective, I grew up considering the younger siblings that, there's a responsibility. You can't just do whatever you think makes sense. Like, you have to consider what they will think of you, and if you're not making the best decision, like you filter your decisions through, is this something that I won't want my youngest sister to do or my younger brother to do? And if it's not good enough for them to do, then I probably shouldn't either. And so it's like a pressure to live your life the way that you want your brothers and sisters to live. And so, because otherwise, if you try to preach to them what to do or what not to do, but you're not living it, then you're not gonna effectively be a good role model. So that kind of like made forged me to live like a role model, and not just like as if my actions don't have any implications on other people, but consider what I do and how it will impact people that look up to me. And so then, as I grew up and became a person of influence in music, I already had a sense of responsibility that, I just don't want to be accountable for souls or for people making bad decisions because they saw me make bad decisions. And so, and like, if I could. Like recognizing that I'm a leader, even from a young age, just with being in a big family, recognizing that I'm a leader and God's going to hold me accountable for how I use my influence to lead others, and just wanting to be someone that God could trust to lead others, and hopefully He'll see that I led my brothers and sisters to Him, and He's the only safe place for us all. And so, yeah.
Wow, that is so beautiful, because I think oftentimes you hear older siblings, they talk about the responsibility and the burden, and like you said, similarly. I mean, you didn't get to do what you wanted to do because you were thinking about your younger siblings, but it's almost like from a place of, oh, it was really hard and there's no upside to it. But what you've just said is it was really hard. You know, it was a burden. It's a massive responsibility, but you saw that actually it prepared you for where you are now.
Exactly. And this is an even bigger responsibility. Well, I wouldn't say that because, you know, it's not necessarily bigger, but it reaches more people, you know. And so, yeah, I'm not afraid of the responsibility, because I've been prepared for it. So, yeah.
Wow. As one of the younger siblings, we do thank the older siblings. I'm in the younger half of the siblings. So we do thank you for, you know, being a very good role model. But it kind of makes sense as well, because whenever I've heard you speak, I always think, where does she get this wisdom? You feel very, like, very responsible, very sensible, very, you know, just wise. And I've wondered, where does she get this from? And now it kind of makes sense. You're one of the older siblings and has come from that.
Yes, most definitely. And the Lord, of course, the Holy Spirit.
And the Lord, yes.
Yes.
Those two things together make for a very wise person. So your parents, like we said, you know, nine kids, which is a lot of kids, but you all are quite musical. Like I said earlier, you have joined a group with your siblings. You've all tapped into your talents. How did your parents nurture that for you? Because it's quite hard to do that for so many different people and to really tap in to what they are and to nurture that and to bring it forth and help them to be successful in their lives.
Yeah, I really have to give credit to my dad, our dad, for his faithfulness in his role as a father, you know, and his role in not letting a single one of his children slip through the cracks and not reach at least and not reach development, because it's like a father's job to like to ensure that the children are shepherded to be able to function in the world, you know, and to thrive. And I give credit to my mom as well, because she really nurtured us, and like the team that they were as a couple. They're not together anymore, but we are products of their teamwork, you know, and their faith. And it's really remarkable to see what I've been able to become, what my siblings have been able to become. And it's we're witnessing the fruit of someone's faith, you know, and it took a lot of faith to even bring us into the world and to have faith to, you know, because we were poor, at least financially, growing up. There's no way that we had enough, that my parents had enough money to even have nine children, but they just didn't care. They had the faith for it. They didn't have the money for it, but they had the faith for it. And then it's one thing to birth nine children. It's another thing to like equip nine children with skills and, you know, with an education. Like we were homeschooled. Our parents, you know, our mom was homeschooling us. Like there's so much investment, like just costly, costly, costly investment. And you know, so it there's a lot of it was all done in faith, you know. And I think that we're only s just scratching the surface of the fruit that will come from all of the sowing. But I just feel a responsibility to honor their work, you know, the seeds that they've sown. And I feel that the best way to honor is to honor God, you know, because your work is in vain if you are doing it unto just the passing things of the flesh, you know. If you're just like, my parents didn't do all of that just for the purpose of me to just get rich and famous and then die. Like that, even though that's cool, but that's not, it wasn't worth all of the effort and the toil and the suffering that they've went through just so I could get famous and rich and then die. Like, but it is worth it if the return is eternal, you know, and if because they did all of this, now this many people are added to the kingdom of God, or because they did all of this and they set victory up and they set, you know, each one of my siblings up, and now we're taking everything that they sowed and we're using it and we're pouring it all out on Jesus. And now, you know, it, like, the harvest is kingdom harvest. I just feel like that's the most worthy cause to, like, pour out such a costly sacrifice. And now it's, you know, it's up to me to decide what I'm going to do with my portion of inheritance, with all of the things that I've been blessed to receive and be, you know, and just inherit, to just spend it all on, for the cause of the kingdom and for King Jesus. And I just think that, yeah, that's a worthy cause to put your very best efforts. And yeah.
Which of these topics has not been covered on PremierChristianity.com? UFOs, near-death experiences, Doctor Who, Christ's return, the faith of celebrities, and Andrew Tate? Trick question. We don't shy away from any topic. We cover faith as it affects us in daily life and give you the bigger picture. PremierChristianity.com. Special podcast subscription offer at PremierChristianity.com/podcast.
Wow, what a wonderful way to... I'm going to be saying this after everything that you say. When you speak, I'm like, yes, that is a really great point. But that is a really wonderful way to see life, I guess, to look at what your parents have done and to say, you know what, that wasn't just for money. It wasn't just so I can have a nice car. It has to be for something more. It has to be, because that's not enough to make me feel fulfilled or just for life. I think that's really, it's a great way to see life. Hearing about your parents as well, I'm sorry to hear that they're not together anymore. It can be really hard, I guess, as well, when that happens. But still being able to take what they've taught you, still being able to take that and to run with it and to create this really lovely life.
Yeah, it's, they did their part, you know, and they still are. And so, but now it's time for me to do my part, you know? And so really that's going to show the integrity of their work based off of how well I do my part, you know? And so,
yeah,
just trusting God to help me do my,
you
run
got
my
this.
Race.
You are running your race very, very well. So speaking of your parents, they did make the decision when you were younger to move from Michigan to New York to support your music's craft. You said earlier that you grew up quite poor. How did this leap of faith affect you at the time? Because that is a massive leap of faith to A, stay in an industry that is hard to stay in financially if you're not selling out arenas and doing all this stuff. Music is tough. But then also to pick up all your kids and say, right, we're going to move to New York because we feel like out there it's going to work. That's really tough, but it must have had an impact on you and who you are.
Yeah, absolutely. Because why should that work? Why should a family of 11, because including our two parents, moving to the most expensive city in America, probably not in the world, but one of the most expensive cities in the world. There's no savings. There's no plan B. It's just we have enough money to get to New York City. And that's it. Like, with 11 people, like, why should that work? There's nothing that computes to it making sense other than the fact that you believe that God will never leave you nor forsake you, and that, you know, you've never seen the righteous forsaken before, you know, or the people of God begging for bread. Like, no, like, so just on that basis, we should be all right if we do this. And like, that's the kind of faith my parents were moving in. And I was just like along for the journey, because that's what you do as a kid. And it worked out. And not only did it work, we took our music to the streets, we sang, we sold our CDs around the city, we made a lot of money, and it supported our family not only for that season, but for the next 15 years. And we ended up staying in New York, and it really wasn't a situation where, like the environment of our family was not set up where you could be like, well, I'm not a singer, I'm a basketball player, or I'm not really into music, I'm into, like, I don't know, science and literature or something. I don't know. Like, it wasn't like that. It's like, this is how we survive. It wasn't, there were no luxuries of, and I think that's beautiful too, that your song was your means of survival. Now it's not necessarily like we sing to eat, although it is our livelihood now, but it's not so much survival in terms of we won't have a place to live if we don't sing today. Like, no, it's not like that. But our soul, the well-being of one's soul is attached to your courage to sing and your relentless your relentless determination to show up and sing your song today. And so like, no matter what hardships we might go through, we all know we could always just pull on a song, and that song will find our way forward in that song. And so that culturally as a family was like the central, like, this is not about hobbies or, like, if you're in this family, you're going to find your song.
Yeah, it's
And
without
that
choice. You will find it. We are a musical family, and that is what we do.
it's not even like a forced thing. It's more like, it's just, I mean, you eat, you breathe, you sing. Like, it's just it's
Just
what
what you do.
it's who we are, so.
You know what I really love about what you just said? Because there's actually a question on my sheet that kind of ties into it, but I'm going to ask you now. When you said your song is for the well-being of your soul, I see creativity as that. And so I heard an interview that your Glory Hour album came from you wanting to encourage yourself and what you were going through at the time. And then you thought, the world needs to hear this. God is pushing me to share it. But for example, my fiance, when he's feeling really stressed, he plays guitar and he gets on the piano and he will sing. I do art, so I love to just sketch stuff and it can just take away the stresses at the time. How important is tapping into our creativity to heal us as people?
Oh, it's very important. I think that especially when your music is, or when your creativity is an extension of your praise unto God, then that's when it becomes paramount. It's very important that you create, because it's, you're not just creating
Great.
just for just the pleasure of it, but you're creating, like, this is an offering, like, I want to create something. Like, there's this one time it was on a Saturday, I was just taking the day off to just spend time with God, and I wanted to create a song. Like, I've written songs for so many people, and when I really try to nail a song, like, it can take hours, but it could just take so much effort, and when I sit down and I create it, I just have this motive of, I'm going to invent the most beautiful piece of music, and this person's gonna be so moved by this song, and I don't care how much it takes, how long it takes, but it's gonna be right, and it's gonna be epic, and it's gonna be perfect. And I'm like, I want to do that for God. Like, I want to make a song for him. Like, I just remember being like that on this day. And I was trying to think, where do I even begin? Where do I, like, because you don't want to just make something that you think is nice. You want to make something because it's for this other person. So you want to know what's a good starting point, what moves their heart, what is something that you can pull on to, like, really strike a chord in their heart. And, like, you know, you could mindlessly just write music to be popular or to this, you know, I'm going to write a hit song today or whatever. But in this case, this song was not about anything other than, this is what I can do. This is what I have to give to God. Now, if my medium was painting, then maybe it would not be, I'm going to create the most beautiful song for God. Maybe it would be, I'm going to paint the most beautiful painting. But when your craft is used as a vehicle of expressing love unto God, then it's just extremely important that you show up to exercise your craft, whatever medium it may be. It could, you know, it could be music, it could be painting, it could even be sports, you know what I mean? Like this, like showing up to train, this is my worship unto God. Like, I'm going to leave it all out on the track or whatever it is, you know? And so it's just important, because the more you bless God, the more you are blessed.
Back to your album. Mm-hmm. So it was your first Glory Hour, was your first gospel album, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Technically your first gospel album. And like we said earlier, you said that it was coming from a time where you wanted to encourage yourself, that you mm-hmm. made this whole album of music, which is an amazing album of music, wonderful way to encourage yourself. What was going on at that time that you needed encouragement?
Well, there was the pandemic, but honestly, I started writing these songs like 3 months before the pandemic started. And like, I just remember the first song I wrote from the album was Psalm 91, which David wrote that song. I just put melody around it, you know, but, I just remember at that particular time, this Psalm 91 song was soothing me as I had so much anxiety in a relationship I was in at the time. And I was thinking about ending it. And there was just so much turmoil with this particular relationship. And I just remember escaping the turmoil every time I sang Psalm 91. And so it just became my thing, where it's like, wow, like these, like a song that's made just of scripture, it especially has power. Like, I could just sit here and sing this scripture like over and over, and there's no turmoil that can have access to my soul. So then I started just making other songs that were made strictly and specifically of scripture. And I think the second one I wrote was the warfare song. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Like, I just would find these little nuggets of like powerful, potent scriptures, and then put beautiful melody around them and piano. And I would just be in my studio, the secret place, and I would just be at my grand piano, and I would just like escape from all of my problems in life through these scripture songs. And then the pandemic hit, and then I knew exactly what to do already. Just go to my studio, escape to the secret place, and sing your scripture songs and make new ones, make new scripture songs. And so I wasn't afraid of, you know, all the chaos that was happening around. I just had my way of escaping. And then I started to think, well, you know, but what about all the other people that that don't have a means of escaping. They haven't figured out that if you just sing Psalm 91 over and over, that
it works. They don't know yet.
They don't know. So then I said, okay, well, I'm going to pull these scripture songs together, and I'm going to make an album, and I'm going to let the world know. And this is going to be like a secret weapon that people will know. They can just grab this. They might think it's just beautiful art at first, but then they'll start to see that, oh wow, I don't have anxiety anymore, or you know. And so the idea was that it's extremely potent and powerful, but it also is artistic. Mm-hmm. You know, the music is just the packaging that presents the real power, which is God. Like, God is his word. Because, you know, like in John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So it's like this opportunity to present the word of God, which was in the beginning before all time, you know, like, so it just, to me, it was Glory Hour is the most important work I've ever done, because it was just an opportunity to present the word to the world. And mm-hmm. Yeah,
I could literally talk to you all day long, all day long, and you would probably get really sick of it, but I wouldn't. But thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to me. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That was me, Cassandra Maria, talking to the singing sensation that is Victory Boyd.
You've been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.